Because, you know, if they hang it on a light post, it's not like they have to put up another huge tower in a neighborhood just so they can get the signal out there and everything else.
There's one.
Before we go any farther, I just want to say I apologize to everybody. I'm trying to record the show. I missed the first few minutes. I just picked up. The real problem I'm having is it seems to be overdriving like mad. I think I got it semi-balanced now. I guess we'll see. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No problem.
There's one issue with the broadband. They just did a study of it in Canada of it, and the same principle. And the big caveat that they have is the frequencies that they're using for the broadband over the power lines drastically interferes with military radio frequencies.
Well, what I find it interesting,
they gotta watch with that,
is that they're offering to do this out in California.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Didn't California have major power issues when it gets hot out there?
You think?
Yeah.
And let's face it, 13 megabits per second, that's basically, old-style 10-base Ethernet.
Yeah, right. But the thing that is, though, is I think what they're trying to get to is if they can bring this product in and be even cheaper than DSL or Roadrunner,
It's
still faster than the current dial-up.
Well, more companies own the poles. They don't have that. They don't have to rent
another,
And more importantly, you don't have to run any. You want to bring your laptop into the kitchen, you don't need wireless. You just bring it.
Bring it.
Want to go out in the yard, just plug it in, and nobody can steal your...
Yep.
Well, now, that's a good question. What if I've got electricity out in the garage? Can my neighbor come over, plug in, and use my...
Yes, probably.
Yes,
yeah.
Sure.
Or he could sit there in your backyard, at the edge of his backyard.
Yeah.
I'm sure...
Well, no, but he'd have to plug in somewhere. If it's wireless, he can do that. But if it's coming over the power line...
You better watch the extension cords running.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're proof of concept stage. I'm sure if they're going to get somewhere with that, they're going to have to figure out an authentication.
Some sort of router on the line somewhere,
or something like that, yeah.
But it's going to be interesting.
Right.
I mean,
how are you going to get a MAC address over, three wires?
Slowly.
Yeah. This piece of 120 volt, I can't,
Right.
I can't find a MAC.
It's going to be interesting. The other thing, though, folks, we can't say it enough. There's a number of other viruses and worms out there. W32 Bagel. Yeah, me too. Bagel is now another worm attached to that one. So you want to definitely stay up to date. Because we found one incident where even though folks were running Norton, and it was dated, the files were dated July 14th,
mm-hmm.
We wound up running Stinger on it, and Norton didn't catch the newest virus.
No, it's true. It's zero-day exploits, and I'll have more to say about that, too.
Yeah.
So, keep up with it, and even at that, you still might lose the battle.
Right.
I hate to say it, but, and a lot of folks are getting very frustrated. They sit there and complain, it used to be fun being on the Internet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there's millions of other people on there, and you just got to do your homework a little more diligently.
It's the truth.
Keeping it up.
It's the truth.
So...
Tony, what do you got for us?
Oh, my favorite rant.
Oh, here we go.
IE sucks.
Buckle up, everybody.
IE sucks hard, fast, and badly.
What else is new?
Yeah, of the 9 security updates that Dave mentioned earlier, and the two critical, 4 of them are for Internet Explorer because of... I can give you the link, but it's just basically, evil people take over your computer, the typical IE exploit because of the way it's ingrained in the system. The interesting fact about this, too, is these exploits are not fixed in XP Service Pack 2. So that's gone to gold code, and they're not fixed. They're still vulnerable. For the first time since 1999, the market share of the Internet Explorer browser has dropped. Now, granted, it's only been 1%, and it's probably could very well be just a blip, but CERT, the Computer Emergency Response Team based out of Carnegie Mellon Institute, which is responsible for major security alerts in the back end world where Nick and I play with,
right.
They have recommended that people do not use Internet Explorer. Our friends at the Department of Homeland Security says don't use Internet Explorer, use something else. Mozilla is a real good choice. Firefox, if all you need is a browser, it's good. I mean...
That's what we've been recommending here at Soundbites for a number of years, is don't use IE. In fact, we had a couple calls just last week.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've to the point where it's taking it off. I go to friends' houses and fix. I can't tell you how many times I have to take spyware or crapware off.
Well, you know what, though? On the other hand, I got to say, go ahead, folks. Keep using it.
Yeah,
great job security for me and my technicians.
Yeah, and for my technicians, it's just wasting their time on stuff that they could do more important. Better.
Well, 2 weeks ago, our poll, of course, was we do a poll every week on Soundbites. I'll talk more about that later. But the poll two weeks ago, my faith in Internet Explorer is, and the choices, of course, were solid as ever, shaken and not stirred, flagging fast, and what faith? And the winner, 60%, what faith?
Yeah.
Followed by flagging fast, followed by shaken, not stirred, and a mere 24 Microsoft employees voted solid as ever.
Yeah. And let's be fair, Microsoft employs some very intelligent people to write their software. I will give them that. They're smart people, but I think they're handicapped and crippled from the get-go by what, you know, by the infrastructure. 40 million lines of code, not bytes, lines of code.
Right.
In XP.
And there's the corporate decision to weave Internet Explorer into everything they do, and that makes it literally impossible to really protect it.
Yeah, yeah. You can remove it, and it's an evil hack to do it, but you can do it. But it's, you know, the average user wouldn't even begin to think about it. I don't even think you'd want to try.
I don't even want to try.
Yeah,
I don't even want to try.
Right. In the interest of fair disclosure and honesty, because I said IE sucks, Mozilla had an exploit, one of the same exploits, the shell code exploit that IE had. It only affected Mozilla for Windows XP and Windows 2000. The vulnerability was discovered, and it was fixed the next day.
Yeah.
So if you run Mozilla, please update.
Right. On the rest of the Microsoft front, Microsoft XP Service Pack 2 will go gold in August. That's about a month late, but they're getting it out. And the idea is it's going to fix a bunch of problems, and it's going to make it much more secure. As we've talked about in the past, it won't really make it much more secure because a lot of the vulnerabilities that Windows has simply are not fixable as long as you continue to weave things like Internet Explorer into the operating system. But they're going to do what they can. Be aware, however, that Windows XP Service Pack 2 could break a lot of existing applications because of what they're doing to make it secure. All of those sites you go to now that you can't get to with Firefox because they run ActiveX controls, you won't be able to get to them after you install Service Pack 2.
Because it'll turn off ActiveX. Mm-hmm.
And it turns off ActiveX, turns off a lot of Java stuff, turns off all kinds of things, which is what you need to do to make it safe, but now you end up with the same problem people have with Firefox and Mozilla and Netscape and Opera, which is that there are sites you can't get to. Once again, I have to say that if anybody is actually creating a site that requires ActiveX controls, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it to go there?
Not for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Really.
Is it worth it to go there? And then write to that company and say, I'm sorry, I'm not coming to your website anymore, I'm not buying products from you. Because you are insecure and you are unsecured and you're making me unhappy.
Yeah, and the problem is you know, Service Pack 2 will come down, shut off ActiveX, people will complain, some bright boy will say, well, this is how you do it, this is what you need to do to turn ActiveX back on, where are we?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Back at square one.
Yep.
Exactly. Now, for those of you who are interested in the Software Update Services, SUS, they've renamed them, Microsoft has renamed them to Windows Update Services, or WUS. And delayed them. I'm just reporting the news here. And they've delayed them.
Won't be
ready until the
what?
First. I'm just saying they have named a product WUS. Won't be ready until the first half of next year. It's designed to automate patch distribution within an organization. Those of you who are listening who work for companies who've been looking forward to this, you've got at least until the beginning of 2005. Before you'll see them. There's been a rumor going around the net that the latest ATAC worm was linked to Al-Qaeda. That's just so much eyewash. It's absolutely not true. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit Court ruled in late June that it would not be illegal for an internet service provider to read your mail. As long as it stops at their server for any amount of time, they have the right to read it and, oh, by the way, pass it on to anybody else they want to.
Good luck reading mine.
Well, yes, but the point is they can.
Yes, they can.
So if there's something you want to say that you don't want everybody to know about, perhaps some form of digital communication is no longer the best.
And let's be real honest. The analogy has always been, since the UU mail days, email is a postcard.
Yeah. Yep.
Email is not a sealed letter. It's a postcard. If it's something that you don't want the chance of somebody reading, you've got a couple of choices. You encrypt your mail, or you send it in a regular letter.
Right.
Or you put in an encrypted file, or you do something like that. But a plain email, if people expect privacy and security in plain email, they're in for a big surprise.
Yeah, I've
got a T-shirt at home that says, "I've read your mail."
Right.
I admin mail servers. I have the perfect right. Company policy says, your mail is not your mail. It's my mail.
Right. I used to run a bulletin board system back in the days when those were good, and one of the FAQs was, can you read my mail? And the answer was, yes. Yes, I can. I'm the system administrator. The only thing that assures your privacy is my lack of concern in your petty little life.
That's basically it. That's basically it. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands are going through a day?
No. Right, right, right. The chances of me actually reading yours are small, unless you give me reason.
Yes.
Like porking me off. So... Never pork off your mail administrator. That's the thing we're learning here. We talked a little earlier about the zero-day exploits. That is to say, the day that a worm is available, it's actually active. In a lot of cases, what you see are proof of concepts or somebody announces a worm but doesn't make the kit available for script kiddies. Now we're seeing zero-day exploits. The day that the worm is announced, people are actually using it to break into systems,
right,
which probably means it's like a minus 10 day.
Yeah. Well, usually
it will be even happening for a week or so before you even hear about it.
You'll see 90% of the viruses and worms come out usually on Thursday.
Right.
Usually on Thursday, folks say, well, why that particular day? It's because normally the DAT files both through Microsoft, McAfee and Norton come out on Wednesday. So a lot of these script kiddies like to then publish their worms and their other paraphernalia out on a Thursday, figuring if it gets out there sometime on a Thursday, people might find it by a Friday. A lot of companies then shut down for the weekend, and then they can get...
Right. The real problem here, of course, is that a lot of these require patches to the operating system, which if you're a Linux administrator or a Unix administrator, they come out within hours. If you're a Windows administrator, it's a calendar thing. You do it by calendar. So get those firewalls up. That helps. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Communication is a key that opens many doors.
Shows like yours are so valuable. I think people listen to it and they...
The key is yours. Communicate.
Start to see, maybe think with a little more logic.
As an American, I feel like that's what we should do.
I've got just four quick points. I'll hit them real quick.
Life in America has changed.
And that's where you got to get with these things. Are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Do you know what the differences are? Find out, get on a side, and stay there.
Rochester's only news radio, 1180 WHAM.
Get a fresh spin on just about everything. And have it spread.
When it comes to the best deals on all your favorite beverages, all roads lead to Hess Express. Guess you could say Hess Express is beverage.
Faucets are on here, so you'll be all kinds of peppy after you have yourself a few cups of coffee.
I'll be happy to.
They make it strong in the morning, too.
Okay, I have to tell you all this.
Bag hanging up there. It's got some brown liquid in there.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm going to need. I'm going to need an IV drip is what I'm going to need. I have to apologize. I'm completely screwing up the recording thing here. I'm just not used to recording it, and Steve's not here, so... I'm trying to record it. I got a different computer here today. It's a complete mess, and so I apologize to everyone. I apologize, but we'll see what we can do to keep it. We're going to have some sort of recording going on anyway. I apologize. And for those of you who just missed it, by the time the archive is up, it'll be mostly over anyway. Yes. But this Saturday, this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The 17th is today, 18, 19, 20, the 21st, 2nd, and 3rd, I guess that would be. I'll be doing the entertainment news for Wham during the morning show. Chet and Beth actually seemed to think that I would be able to do this. Apparently they've scraped the bottom of the barrel and now they're looking under it for somebody to come in for a couple of days, and it'll be me. So it's going to be interesting.
You're a good fit.
Thank you. We'll see what happens. What that means is that the other day when I went to see Spider-Man 2, I could take it off my taxes.
Cool.
All right. We're going to get to the phones now, I hope. And we're going to speak. We're not going to get to the phones? What are we going to do? We're going to take another break? I apologize. We talked through the whole segment. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who wouldn't let any of you talk. But we'll let you talk in the next segment here on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Looking for something fun to do with your kids this summer? Why not head over to the Regal Henry
Act the guys, the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I am Tony Pusilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our first caller, see, we're going to get right to the phones. We're not even going to talk to anybody. We're going to get right to the phones, and we're going to talk to Richard from Angelica, New York.
Yep.
Where is Angelica, New York?
Yes, it is.
Where is it?
About 70 miles from Buffalo.
Ah.
Southern Tier.
Olean area.
Cool.
Hey, oh, see, you knew that.
I did.
Well, what's your story here, Richard?
I'm running Panther 10.3.
Mm-hmm.
And Netscape 7.1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to be able to, on the older ones, pull the bookmark file and the address book file and transfer it to another machine so I didn't have to do all the typing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how to do it now.
Well, are you still using the same products, Netscape, and on both machines?
Yes.
Well, in Netscape, you can export it. There's a, under the file, you can go into, say, the address book, and then from there you can export it out as, a particular file format and save it out at the root directory, copy it to a disk, and then take it over to the other machine and then import it once you open up the bookmarks part and, say, get it from the disk.
Oh.
You can import and export bookmarks, emails.
It's right under, for whatever, like if you're using the web browser, it would be file, and then, or under the bookmarks menu, there's an option, depending on which version of Netscape, it's an export bookmarks.
Yep.
Also, in your directory, in your home directory, there is a file called bookmarks.html, which is all you have to do is copy that over. That is your bookmarks. It's in the...
Where is that located?
It would be in... No, I'm not...
Depending on what machine. That's why I say it's easier to export it than trying to root down to where it buries itself. So export it as a...
It's on an iMac right now, and I want to put it into my iBook.
Yeah, it should be under whatever user you have. There should be a Mozilla folder. It will be inside there. But like Dave says, the best way to do it is use the export function.
Okay.
You know, pop off the help. You know, in the help menu, it will tell you exactly how to export both mail and the bookmarks.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, thank you very much. Good show.
Thank you very much. How's the signal down there?
Very good.
Thank you. 50,000 watts of clear channel power. Better be. Thanks.
You got it.
There you go. Our next caller, Aaron from Clifton Springs, New York.
Well, from one end to the other end?
Yeah, going our way. What's up?
I have a problem with my video card.
Uh-huh.
I'm installing a game. I installed it, and when I go to play it, it says, could not find any compatible Direct3D devices with required cables. Make sure you have current drivers for your video card.
What OS are you running?
What?
What operating system are you running?
Windows XP.
Okay.
What video card and what game?
It's for Lord of the Rings Return of the King. Okay. That's the game.
And which video card? Which exact video card?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. There's the problem because some of the newer games require a higher end video card. And if it doesn't, you know, if it's not compatible, for example, most of the, like Unreal Tournament, if you've got an older, like an ATI Rage 128 or something like that, it doesn't have enough horsepower, and the install of the game will detect that it doesn't have enough horsepower and say, sorry.
Yeah. You might have to go to, like, one new Radeon 9000 series.
Or 9600. That's one of the things, and Dave will tell you, that's games have been what's driving PC.
Well, that's one of the things folks don't need to really do. When you pick up these games, there's always on the side a tab that will tell you the minimum requirements. And now even a lot of these games are even specifying what video cards it will work with and what won't. So that's got to be your homework. You got to see what video cards that they support and what you have in that machine.
Okay.
And go from there.
Could you like bring it to like your place where you bought it from and update your system?
Yeah, wherever you bought it from. Yeah, they should be able to replace that video card with the one that will work with that particular game.
Okay. Do you know how like much it would cost?
Depending on what card it says you need.
Okay.
Yes, and not only is it the card that you need, but how much memory you want on that card and what speed you want out of that card.
Yeah.
Okay. There are generally a bunch of choices you need to make.
Okay.
One certainly is the card itself, but in general, the faster the card you buy, obviously the faster it's going to be able to do stuff. And the more memory it has, the more pixels and triangles and things it can draw on the screen at once, and so the better the picture's going to look.
Okay.
So those are some of the things, and you've got to take a look at what's available that will run your game.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely my pleasure. Tony's absolutely right. It's the game market that's driving the speed and power of the machines, which is not necessarily a bad thing. We're going to take another quick break. Dave Enright, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all back after the news on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite. Steve Ray is one step ahead of the law somewhere. We're not quite sure where.
Or a Trek convention.
It's another Trek convention, I'm sure. But we're back. As you know, every week we have a poll on our website. Last week's poll talked about Microsoft's biggest challenge. 333 of you voted in that poll, making it number 48 in our all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you. And the choices that we had were that there are too many problems at Microsoft with their products. They don't have any innovation. There's nowhere left for them to grow. They're too restrictive, or the operating system is irrelevant. The winner was too many problems with 45% of the vote, followed by innovation, nowhere left to grow, and too restrictive, or the OS is irrelevant. And that the OS is irrelevant, what I meant by that was, you know, nowadays you buy a computer, and you take it out of the box, you plug in the keyboard, you plug in the mouse, you plug in the power cord, and then the next thing you do, you plug in your network connection. Then you turn it on.
Video.
Then the first thing you set up, well, I said you plug in your monitor, and the first thing you set up is your email and your web browser. And then you go and, you know, play solitaire or Minesweeper or whatever it is you do next with the computer. But those are the things you do first. And so what it comes down to is, for the vast majority of people, a computer is really a way to keep in touch with people over the internet. And it doesn't matter what your operating system is for that. It doesn't have to be Microsoft. It can be...
run on an Amiga, for God's sake.
Exactly. Yeah. It can be web TV. It can be anything. Mm-hmm. It can be anything. It could be your Sega. And so that's what I meant by that. And that was 333 of you voted. This week's poll comes to us courtesy of one of our members, and the question is, do you participate in distributed computing? And I'll talk about that in a minute. The choices, of course, are yes, no, I did, but not right now. I want to try it, no thanks, and huh? Right now, the winner appears to be huh? And what distributed computing is that's things like SETI at home, or the folding, the cancer studies, all of that stuff, where they use your unused computer cycles. Usually it comes in the form of a screensaver. So when you're not using your computer, it goes out on the internet and connects to a whole bunch of other computers, and then they use that to either look through the signals coming in from SETI, or they go through protein folding to look for cures for various diseases and stuff like that. There's a lot of places on the net that are doing it. So the question was, are you participating in that at all right now? Like I said, so far 85 of you have voted, and the big answer is, huh, I don't even know what distributed computing is, which is quite possibly what the problem is, followed by no, then yes, followed by I did, but not right now, and then the other two are fairly far down. So we'd love to have you vote on our poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. When you're done voting, underneath the poll itself, you'll see a little yellowish box with a link to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. And once you're at my website, you can leave an opinion as to what you think about distributed computing. So far, 16 of you have voted, and almost none of it has anything to do with actually distributed computing. But that's okay. People are having fun, and that's why it's there. So that's what you know. What I was thinking of doing was putting up on my website at some point movie reviews.
There you go.
So if I actually get them before Wednesday, people can leave comments about their movie, the thoughts about movies,
in your spare
TV
time.
And stuff. In my spare time, it's not going to happen. But it was a nice idea anyway. And anyway, that's AskNick.com. After you go to soundbites.org. But in the meantime, we're back to the phones. We're going to talk to Claude, who's on a cell phone. Welcome. What's your question?
Hey, how's it going?
Pardon?
Two questions. I have a Roadrunner. It's been sluggish. I tried it to C test, and it's giving 370 kilobytes per second. So I was wondering, is there something could happen with my operating system while it's slowing? I am running a McAfee firewall.
How fast? What is the speed it's giving you?
370 kilobytes per second. On a C test from Time Warner.
378 kilobytes per second?
Yeah.
That's the accepted speed for download for Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a 3-meg connection. You're not getting any faster.
Okay. So
right, remember, kilobytes, you really multiply that by 10 to get bits.
Right.
Okay.
So it's 3.7 megabits, which is correct.
Okay.
So that's you're perfectly fine.
My problem was, why is it that the pages take so long to load?
See, that has nothing to do with your connection.
Yeah.
That has to do with two things. The speed of the system at the other end that you're loading pages from.
Okay.
And the speed of the internet in between.
Okay.
And one of the big problems we have right now is that 90% of the traffic, if not more, on the internet is worms and viruses and spam, which is slowing the internet, clogging it up, and making a lot of connections on the internet ridiculously slow.
Okay, because I'm getting all these time warp requests when I do a ping to, like, soundbite.org.
Right.
Losing, like, 75% of the data packets.
Right. Exactly. And that has almost... See, try pinging the Roadrunner site itself, and you'll find that you don't lose any packets.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
so it's happening past Roadrunner. There's nothing they can do about it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, until we can, until we shoot all the spammers and all the virus writers, we're stuck with this.
Yep.
Okay.
Okie doke?
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, much more of your phone calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. What? Tony Placilla. What did I say?
Steve Ray.
Steve Ray? You're not Steve Ray. You don't look anything like Steve Ray.
Thank God.
Stop trying to kid us.
Whoa.
All right, we have somebody who's performed an identity theft on Steve Ray and turned him into Tony Placilla, but we'll still be back with Soundbites in just a few minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Not just Nick Francesco, also...
Dave Enright.
I am not Steve Ray. I am Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Wiseacre. This is Soundbites. And we're talking to John from Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
I actually had two I'd like to throw at you.
Sure. Do we have to answer them, or are you just going to throw them?
I'll just throw them and see what you guys
sure.
do.
Okay.
With Windows XP, I've got a machine that when I hit Control-Alt-Delete, it goes straight to the CPU monitor.
Okay.
Have you seen that before?
You mean the CPU monitor pops up?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a choice of a task manager.
Task manager is part. It comes up, does the same thing for me.
Yeah.
It's the performance tab of the task manager.
Yeah.
But I don't have any tabs to choose from. All I get is the window with that CPU meter.
You don't have applications running? The tab underneath down there, there's one for applications, networking, users.
No, all I get is that CPU.
Are you doing it? Is the user doing this with? Does it have administrator privileges, or is it a limited user?
It has administrator privileges.
And you're only seeing that one thing.
That's all she wrote.
That sounds like a registry corruption.
Yeah,
you've got something not right somewhere. What other odd symptoms are you having with this machine?
The only other problem I was having was the iPod. When I connected it to the computer, it locked it up, but I updated the iTunes software, and that fixed that.
I hate to say it, antivirus. And yeah, updated.
Yeah, I would suggest you make sure you run the Security Tango. That's at securitytango.com.
I'm familiar with it, and I use it.
Okay. And the next thing I would suggest is that you check your registry. There are a number of registry checking programs out there that will tell you if there are any problems in the registry. Now, they're not 100% accurate because nobody understands the registry, including, I maintain, Microsoft. But I would suggest that you check the registry because it sounds like something's not quite right. I don't see anywhere in here where you can actually turn off those any of those tabs as a user, so mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure how you would do that.
Yeah, anything that's displayed on the screen like that, especially an application or choices of an application, are controlled by values in a registry. The trouble is to find the value and to understand whether it's a D word or a hex or a binary.
That's a needle in a haystack.
It's a needle in a haystack. Full of needles. It's very painful.
I think I'm just going to back everything up and reload it.
Or you could do if you go to the command prompt, you know, go to run, type CMD, go to the command prompt, and you can do an SFC /scan now, and that will look for any corrupt applications within Windows XP and redo them for you.
Okay, and then I also had a 98 machine that the hard drive tanked on me. I copied everything off the drive, the entire drive.
Mm-hmm.
And the only flaw I've got is Outlook won't receive messages. When it, you know, everything works in Outlook, but when it goes to pull mail off the server, it says I can't do that.
What internet provider are you using?
That was on a dial-up. It was USA DataNet.
And you check the SMTP?
Yeah. I mean, it goes to the server, it says receiving messages, and then it says no.
Well, no, what's the real error message?
The real error message, it just gives me a number. Error number, you know, 0x and a whole bunch of digits.
Okay. If it were something easy for you to control, like the wrong username or the wrong password, it would tell you that.
Right.
So the problem
is... I removed the account settings and then put new ones in.
Right.
It's the same thing.
What you need to do is talk to the folks at USA DataNet and find out if, in fact, there's a jam up somewhere in your mail, if they're trying to send you a message that Outlook doesn't understand, like mailbox full, or if there's a bad packet somewhere in your mailbox.
Or if they've accidentally left a pop lock up on their server.
Right, that's a pop lock.
That's a typical symptom.
I pulled the messages down with Outlook Express.
Oh, Outlook doesn't do it, but Outlook Express does.
Right.
Then Outlook itself has got a corruption problem. You said the drive failed?
Right, and then I copied everything off of it, and the only glitch I've found is that Outlook won't receive mail.
Yeah, it sounds like you need to uninstall and reinstall.
Yeah, the binary bits of Outlook itself somewhere, you know, when the drive went kablooey.
A DLL might be corrupt.
Yeah, one of the bits got flipped somewhere in the software. That's probably what happened.
I was afraid you were going to say that. Okay.
Well,
thank you, guys.
Sorry.
We didn't say it was going to be all good news. We just said we'd answer them.
Our next caller, Mike, from Albion, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, I've got two. Could I ask two?
I don't know. Can you?
I can.
Okay.
Can you answer them?
We'll see.
All right. I have a fairly decent computer, and I'm interested in modding it, putting some lights in, some extra fans, possibly overclocking.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about what size power supply I should have for, like, two or three more fans and a couple lights inside.
At least a 350.
All right, okay. I believe I have a 350 or a 300.
Yeah, that's a minimum.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Depends also on how many drives you have, what kind of video card you have, you know.
But the other thing, too, is overclocking.
What processor?
Yeah, what processor are you going to be running?
It's a Pentium 4 hyper-threading 3.06, so I'm not really thinking about overclocking that.
That would be best.
I was going to say, I don't recommend that.
No.
I mean, that's a killer processor right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 350 should be able to handle that, you know.
Depending on how many toys you put inside.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're really talking about a lot of toys, you want to go up to a 450.
Yeah. All right, so I should think about a 450.
It depends on the toys you're going to put
in.
All right. Well, yeah, of course, toys, a lot of them.
Sure. Then you need a 450. If not, you know, hook it right up to a nuclear reactor.
If you have to ask the question, it's not a big enough supply.
You're right.
Yeah. Right. Bigger, better, faster.
And what's your second question, Mike?
I have a Rage 9800, 128 megabytes video card.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And there's a port for, like, the CRT, like your normal monitor port.
Right.
And then it's got, I think it's a flat screen. It's, like, white. It's got lots of
little... Right, it's a digital out.
Yeah, DBI.
Right.
Now, I was wondering if it would be possible for me to hook two CRTs up, like if first of all, the card will support that, and if I can get a...
I don't think the card does dual head in the sense that you can hook up two things and have them match together and be two separate screens.
Right.
I don't think this does dual head.
No, you'd have to get the particular card that does actually support multiple monitors.
All right.
XP will support multiple monitors.
Yeah.
But you've got to have a card that will also do that.
But I'm pretty sure the 9800 is an either-or situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you check ATI's website to be sure.
Right.
If you really have to run dual-head, you know, go to ATI, get yourself a Fire GL, and open your checkbook for about $3,000.
Yeah, I mean, they've got cards that will support up to four monitors.
Yep, okay.
I mean, so, yeah, like Tony's saying, it's just a matter of, you know.
Yeah, ATI's website is the place to check for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Now I have to put in a plug for Linux here. One of the people who works for me is running Linux, and he just stuck three PCI cards in his machine and some software that he's running that lets him do multiple monitors all synced together nicely.
Yeah, I get three of them.
Yeah.
Right across.
I have one big desktop.
Yeah, that's what he's got.
One big desktop.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Now he's lobbying for more monitors.
I tell you, three
should be enough for most people.
I tell you, never winter nights, you never look so good.
I'm never talking to you again, so long as you know that. I'm just saying right now.
For those that don't know that, I gave Nick a copy of Neverwinter Nights, and he is now cursing me on a daily basis.
Doggone it. I'm not getting any work done. All the things I'm trying to get done, and I'm thinking, boy, I could be a Neverwinter Nights right now.
Well, you should explain what it is to folks.
You've got to play as a Kendra mage. Casts fire. Oh, flowers?
Well, Neverwinter Nights is a role-playing game with beautiful graphics,
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. My problem is I have no sense of direction, so when it goes southeast, I have to keep looking down at the whole thing. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, the truly evil Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Donald. They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Bev from Chi-Line, New York. Welcome, Bev. What's your question?
Well, I have two computers. One is running 2000 Pro. The other one is XP Pro. They are both hooked up to a LaserJet 4 Plus printer. Seems to be I'm having printing problems. Some of the programs work run very nicely, and other ones I get a fringe on a piece of paper and lots of blank paper. I've talked to the vendors, and they say my problem is with the printer, not the programs.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
They say that the printer is 10 years old. It's time I should think about retiring it and getting something else.
From their point of view, they're absolutely right.
You said it's a LaserJet 4?
4 Plus.
You retire it. You give it to me. I'll give it a home.
No. Exactly. And we're going to last another 20 years.
That's probably one of the best printers ever made.
Yeah.
Well, I also have a separate computer that runs Windows 3.1, which would probably not work with a newer printer.
I bet it would work with a laser. They may not do all the features of the laser jet.
Right.
But what it sounds like, now see, some of your programs, when you say some run nicely and some don't,
yep.
Is it a mix on both machines, or does one machine run well and the other one doesn't?
It's on both machines.
See, then I have to tell you, I think it's not the printer.
No,
if none of your programs work,
it's the way of the programmer sitting there trying to blame it on somebody else to get
right.
you off the line.
Let's get specific. Which application is, you know, say if you print from Word, for example, or whatever your word processor is, and it prints fine.
Word prints fine.
Okay, what application gives you the fuzzies?
One is a payroll program, and another is stuff from Adobe.
Adobe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And another is stuff from a CD disk.
Okay. One thing you want to take a look at is in the application menu, rather than just hitting the print button, if you go File, Print, and it should, and it'll give you an option of where to print and also how to print. Word is pretty intelligent, and it'll knowing what kind of printer you have, it'll either print with a Hewlett-Packard, it'll either print in PCL, which is printer control language, or PostScript.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular printer does PostScript level 5,
yeah.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So check for an option in each program to be able to print in either PCL or PostScript.
Check Word first to see what that's using, mm-hmm. and then make sure the other programs are printing to the right kind of printer.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what your payroll program is, but many of the earlier ones didn't use the Windows print routines. They used their own, so it may be set up for an incorrect printer.
Well, I tried when I was talking with the people yesterday.
The people?
From the that make the payroll program.
There you go.
And they said, well, and I was following their instructions, and they were doing the same thing on their machine while I was talking to them.
Was this working before?
It was the first time that I was using this program on... on the XP program. Mm-hmm. I had used it on the 2000 program.
And it didn't work there, though, now?
It worked fine on the 2000 program, but didn't work on XP.
Right.
How old is this program? It may not run under XP, although it runs under 2000.
It's a brand new program. It's for 2004.
Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is check the settings on the spooling for the printer under XP. Nick will have to go through the details.
Yeah, there are...
Spool to the printer or spool to the local machine.
Right. Yeah. Usually... Now, is one of the machines set up to be the server?
No. They're both independent.
But the printer is connected to which machine?
Both of them. With an automatic switching device.
Oh, that could be a problem. It automatically switches from one to the other?
Yes.
Mm.
Those, I'm not a big fan of those.
No.
They often don't work very well.
And that I've had for several years, and I had the program or the computer that has the 2000
mm-hmm.
Pro on it, and also I had the Windows 3.1
computer
set up with it, and it worked fine.
Right. But XP is very fussy in the way it wants to control things because it thinks it's smarter than anything else out there because of the built-in plug-and-play capabilities, more so in XP than even Windows 2000. I mean, you can put in a card and XP will automatically find it no matter whether it's USB or, you know, FireWire or anything else.
I tell you what I'd like you to do, Bev.
Okay.
Send us an email. It's pretty much anything, Dave at soundbites.org.
Yep.
With a list of the actual hardware.
And let me look it over.
I don't want to take up everybody's time with that now because, you know, I want you to go get, you know, all the different things. And then we'll take a look at what could possibly be the problem.
And also, do you have a home network?
Or are they just connected through this box?
They're just connected to this box.
Yeah.
Do you have the capabilities of having a home network is what I was asking.
I'm not computer literate enough to know.
Yeah. Bev, let's start with that. Send us an email, dave@soundbites.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can figure something out from a list of the hardware and software. Send us what, you know, the names of the payroll program that and the version you're using, that sort of fare.
Okay.
And we'll go from there, okay?
Okay, that will take me a while to do.
That's why I'm asking you to send us an email instead of trying to do it here over the phone.
All right.
Thanks, Bev.
Okay, thank you.
We'll follow up with that one. Our next caller, Peter, on a cell phone. Welcome, Peter.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
You're pulled over the side of the road, right?
I'm on a bus going to the air show.
Excellent!
I'll be there in about an hour.
A quick question for you.
Yeah.
I've got a cable modem now through Time Warner.
Good for you.
And I'm thinking about switching to satellite TV, DirecTV.
Uh-huh.
And they offer internet access, you know, via the satellite.
Yes, they do.
Do you have any experience whether I'm better off staying with the cable modem versus going to the satellite?
Yes.
Any pluses or minuses to that?
Yes, I do. Stick with the cable modem at all costs.
Okay.
You'll have the speed from the satellite is significantly slower.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lag issue, so if you want to do anything that's interactive, you're
going
to have some tremendous problems with that. Anytime you want to download stuff like large files, you'll probably wind up downloading them 3 or 4 times. Satellite is recommended for people who have no other option except dial-up.
Right. Compared to nothing, it's great.
I'll stick with the cable.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. Our next caller is Diane from somewhere out in the world. Diane, where are you?
Yes, out somewhere out in the world.
Excellent. Good place to be.
My computer's out in the world. What I did was I bought the dummies for Flash MX 2004.
Yeah.
Because I needed to learn that. And it came with fireworks as well.
Right.
And my 30-day trial was over, and I went to uninstall it, and I can't. I went to add remove programs, and it won't go away.
Which one? All of it, or?
Just fireworks. Fireworks will not leave the computer. So I wrote to Microsoft, and they sent me a license cleaner. They said that would clean it up, which it did not. So I still can't uninstall it, and I can't even restore my computer, my settings before. I won't do that either.
Well, a couple of things. First, Fireworks is not from Microsoft. It's from Macromedia.
That's what I meant, Macromedia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's what I wrote, too. I'm sorry.
And the license cleaner didn't take it out.
No.
If you try to run it, what happens?
Well, it pretends that it does, and when I tried to run it again, just to see, because it was still there and wouldn't uninstall, it said that there were no licenses on there. But I'm sitting here looking at it, so I don't
know. What, an icon on the desktop?
No, I'm sitting here looking at my fireworks still in here, along with the, you know, license and everything.
So, hold on. Now, it says, so if you click on the fireworks icon in your start menu,
it'll start up, and then it'll say my trial period has ended.
And what are your choices then?
I can quit, or I can purchase it.
Or
I can call them and tell them it expired.
And if you go into add remove programs,
right?
Is it listed there?
Yes, it is.
And when you try to uninstall it?
It says it's doing it, but it's not. Nothing happened.
Inside, you might have to do a little exploring, but take a look in... Open up your My Computer, go into your C drive, go into Program Files, Macromedia, Flash. There should be, is there an uninstall.exe here?
I was hoping that there was, and there's not.
She's done everything right.
Yeah.
You've done everything right, Diane.
Obviously, something is wrong somewhere.
Except loading fireworks to begin with. That clearly...
Exactly. I will never do a trial anything again, let me tell you.
Yeah,
this
I'm with
this
you.
This is...
Yeah, the only way to do it...
This is Macromedia's problem.
And the thing that is the only way to get it out truly is to go in the registry, which I don't recommend to most
people. Right,
No.
Fully clean it out.
Right. Once again, Diane, we're going to have to research this.
Mm-hmm.
So will you please send us an email?
Okay.
And we'll see what we can do. Pretty much anything, help@soundbites.org.
Yeah.
S-bites at soundbites, so we don't care.
Yeah, in the meantime, also contact Macromedia. They have some, a communications way on their website saying...
Right, I did, and they're the ones that sent me the license cleaner, and they told me there was an FAQ there I could go to, too, but I wanted to catch you guys today to see if you knew anything else.
Yeah, hit the FAQ. There might even be support forms there, but if they sent the license cleaner and it doesn't work, say,
right.
Guys, I did what you told me, and it's still there.
Yeah.
Right. It's off my computer, not now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Diane.
Okay, well, it was worth a shot.
It was, and doggone it, you did everything right. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hate abusive companies.
I hate abusive companies, but I love callers who've done it all right until we get to them. Our next call is Alexis from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Alexis.
Hi, it's Alexi. And, guys, I love the news part, and I just wanted to chime in with a couple of tips. The one caller where the task manager CPU thing, the tabs won't appear.
Right.
If you just click on the frame on the outside, double click, pop. The tabs will pop back and forth.
It's a feature.
I hit it by accident a few times, so that's how I found that myself. And the other tip was multiple monitors. You can stick as many PCI cards in your PC as you want, and Windows will extend your desktop onto multiple monitors.
Right, it will. We just was wondering if he could run multiple monitors off the single Radeon.
Yeah, he wanted to just do it off of one card.
That's it. Great show. I really like the news portion. I try not to miss it every week.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Take care.
Thank you. You too. Have fun. I love it when people come and call in and say,
we're doing it right.
You're doing, I love it when they say you're doing it right, but I love it when they call in and say I've got a different solution or in most cases a better solution than the ones we've come up with. I love to see that. I love to hear that. Thank you, Alexi. I appreciate that. Our next caller, Norma from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Norma. What's your question?
Well, I've got Norton antivirus on and, Symantec.
Yeah.
Norton. Well, anyways, I've been getting, when I go to get my email, of course, it's Outlook Express, and I get these things that I quarantine, then I go, and when it comes up on there, and it's Norton EM or something, and I just delete it right away. Then I go into the Norton, and I go into my report so I can delete them off of there, and I get this NAVD303.tmp and NAVE061.
Wait a minute, repeat those.
NAVD303.tmp.
Yeah.
And the other one's NAVE061.tmp. And the source, it shows C, Windows Temp, and then it's over at the end there, it says not submitted. And I keep deleting them, but they come back periodically. Is that a worm, a virus?
No, those are just temp files that Norton itself uses while it's working.
Gathering
and it's where it's stored that information about the virus while it quarantined it.
Oh.
Thing of it is you might want to, instead of quarantining viruses, I don't know why folks,
virus shouldn't be an option.
Yeah, it shouldn't be an option. It should. What you can do in Norton, and I recommend it in even McAfee, is to go into your options, and when it says it's got to make a decision about a particular email, have it delete it. If it's infected, you don't want it on your machine, nor do you want to hassle with it.
So I can't think of any email that would be so important that you would risk the virus to
No, I delete it. What happens was when I open my Outlook Express and I'm retrieving my mail, this Norton thing pops up.
Right.
And it says, what do you want to do? And I always say quarantine.
No.
Say delete.
You can delete.
I can delete right there?
Yes. Within Norton, though, take the time, go into that option, and change it to ask, you know, it's probably selected to prompt you to ask what to do with it.
Yeah.
One of the other options is just in the background, delete it.
So go into options.
Yeah, in Norton. In Norton, and just tell it to delete it. Don't bother you. This way, it will, behind the scenes, automatically delete those files that it knows that are infected.
So all your deleted, all your infected files go away.
So just check, deny access to the infected file.
No.
Delete. Delete.
Well, I don't...
It's in Norton. You have to go to the main Norton setup menu for the antivirus program. It's not within while you're doing Outlook.
Right, go to Start and go right into... it's either... it's depending on which version you have, it's either listed under Symantec or under Norton.
Well, I got Symantec.
Right, same thing. They're the same company.
Okay. So
and then the main program itself, Norton Antivirus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to go looking in there.
And then in that, the options, the preferences for that.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Norma. And that's for everybody else, too. Turn off, don't quarantine the leaks.
Delete
it. It saves you time and energy and makes life better for everybody concerned. We're going to take another quick break, speaking of making life better for everybody concerned. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now, in Rochester, there's something different on the FM dial.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
And with Nick Francesco is...
Dave Enright.
Tony Placilla.
And Rob Linton. So it should have been R. Sorry. Yeah. And this is Soundbites, and we're back, and we're going to talk to Gary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
I have a lot of difficulty in doing my maintenance on this thing. I use the maintenance wizard. I have a Windows 98 installation. I use the maintenance wizard. And when it gets over to ScanDisk, nothing happens. It just goes 1%, 0, 1%.
Are you doing it in safe mode?
Oh, yeah.
And it would do that ad infinitum.
Are you doing it in safe mode?
What?
When you run the ScanDisk or Defrag, are you running it in safe mode?
Well, I don't know how to get to safe mode.
All right, when you reboot the machine, continually hitting, as the machine's starting up, hit the F8 key.
Keep tapping on that.
You will then get a selection, a menu, and the third option down is safe mode. Run ScanDisk and Defrag from the safe mode. It is a well-known issue with Windows 98 that trying to run ScanDisk in regular mode.
Okay, but I didn't hear you say how I start this. Well,
reboot the system. Reboot. Turn it on.
Yeah.
While it's booting up, keep tapping on the F8 key. Until you see this menu.
And the third option on that is safe mode.
Yeah, but I still can't understand the button you're talking about.
F8. You know the F keys across the top? F1 for help?
Yeah.
F8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I realize sometimes it's hard to hear us. Our next caller, Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. I had a question. Thanks, guys. I enjoy your show every week.
Thank you.
Much. About some antivirus. I tried a free thing. You know, it was in the DNC last week, up above your column.
Yeah.
Panda software. You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I put it on, and it just ties up my CPU like mad. I can't do nothing. Everything's froze up.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never used it. I didn't write the column in question, so I don't quite know a lot about it. But you may just want to uninstall it. The free one that I have been most familiar with, and like a lot, is AVG from a company called Grisoft. Grisoft, Grisoft.com.
Yeah, I think I have that also.
You're not running both at the same time, are you?
So I probably should have took it off, I guess. It could be part of my problem.
Well, you don't want to run more than one. So my suggestion is get rid of Panda and just run...
AVG.
Just run AVG.
AVG, because, two of them would definitely slow down your machine.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to want to uninstall. It doesn't have that feature. I went into the...
Yeah, there's FAQs on their site to do that. Off the top of my head, I don't know which one it is.
Well, I got that far. I went to the RegEdit. They said, oh, go to HK, local machine software, and zap it from there. But that didn't seem to help. You think I'm ready to go see a shop?
It might not be a bad idea. Take it down to any one of the shops in town. We certainly have... a representative of Goodwin here, they can look up how to do that. I believe there is a remover on their website, but if you can't find it, take
there's a number of spots usually in a registry. I've never seen a program just bury itself in one spot.
All right.
Right. Okie doke.
We do that all the time for folks.
Yep. I hit a worm a couple of years ago and ended up, I took it to a shop and they just reformatted my hard drive.
So that's usually not necessary.
Yeah, nowadays, if they have to do that, that's when you want to say, let's get a second opinion.
Oh, yeah, especially when he charged me $80 for it.
There you go. Maybe you need to try a different shop.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. I want a second opinion. Okay, you're ugly, too. Our next caller, Brenda from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brenda. What's your question?
Thank you so much. I just got you guys on the tail end, and I'm really grateful. I'm thankful. I need to get my sound on. I bought some speakers, and I'm having a hard time finding out how to, get the sound.
Sure. What operating system are you running?
I have Windows 98.
Okay. Down in the lower right corner, down by the clock, do you see a little yellow symbol that looks a little bit like a speaker?
It's up on the left-hand side because somehow I got switched up there.
Okay, but there is one?
Yeah, yellow, yeah.
Is there a red line through it?
I don't think so.
Okay. When you plug in the speakers...
Could be muted. You want to double
check that? Well, that would be the red line, but if you plug in the speakers, you don't hear anything?
No.
From your sound? Are you sure the speakers are plugged into the right place on the sound?
Yeah, it's green. Track? It's got, music notes in the back.
It's a light green. It's a light green one?
Mm-hmm.
That's the correct one.
Yeah. That's the correct one.
Yeah, and I had called the company, and they're saying I got to give them this number so that they can, zero in on it. And I can't find this number.
Well, I'll tell you what. Once again, Brenda, because there's a lot of possibilities here, email us.
Oh, what's your email address?
Dave@soundbites.org. Again, that's Bites with a Y, and we'll do this offline because there's a lot of variables involved here.
And please, Dave?
Dave at soundbites.org.
Soundbites,
B-I-T-E-S? B-Y-T-E-S.org.
Y-T-E-S. Y-T-E-S.
You got it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave and Wright, the magnificent Tony Placilla, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here at the regular time next Saturday at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, folks.